Oh yeah, about to get my Cinema Stash rehash on.
Let's go!
What?
Oh yeah.
Podcasting from Chico, California, and home of the world's largest functional yo-yo. They are Cinema Stash Rehash. Join them as they talk movies, make fun of them, and discover how they fuel your everyday life paranoia. Let me welcome you to...
That's right, we're back, and tonight we are reviewing another one of our guilty pleasure movies. This time it is my turn to pick. And I had a hard time figuring out what this type of movie would be for me, and I settled on this movie that I watched. It was one of those movies that I probably watched 100 times during this one summer when I was obsessed with skateboarding, and my brother was on board enough to, hey, no pun intended, to go, like, to let, you know, like, we watched this movie a lot, basically. And right. It's called Gleaming the Cube. Came out in 1989. It stars Christian Slater, and it's probably the best in terms of skateboarding action skateboard movie of the like, as far as fictional movies go, not like documentary style or anything.
Yeah.
Of the 80s and even probably the 90s, there's just was subpar skateboard movies up to that point. So it's like, even though it's got its cheesy crime drama background, it's a good skateboard movie, and that's why I liked it as a kid. And watching it now, I was kind of I watched the whole thing. I liked it. I don't feel guilty at all.
For me, it's like, I am not a skateboarder. I'll go down in the book saying like that. I'm not a skater.
By the way,
I had a skateboard. Does that count? But I'm not a skater.
Yeah.
it doesn't count.
Yeah, well, I didn't think so.
I'm not a skater either.
It doesn't matter. It was still...
But I liked it.
What I mean is, like, I think that that definitely plays into the fact of this being a watchable movie is the skating. Because to be honest, it's like, I look at it differently because, A, I'm not a skater. Yeah. I look at it as a fact is like, this is just a crime drama, and for some reason they felt compelled to put skating into it.
Yeah, well, skateboarding was pretty popular back then. I have no idea if this story originally started around the idea of a skateboarding kid who gets, you know, wrapped up in this, you know. But it's like the underlying crime drama to it, it seems way more elaborately thought out than the concept of the skateboard.
Well, that's,
know,
yeah,
side of it,
and that's what I mean. It's like, it's, it feels like this movie could have been really, 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 really good.
Yeah,
it's like, I actually really loved the story arc from it, and then I felt like they literally put in everything that would have helped the story by just putting skating in there.
Well, yeah, I mean,
it didn't really attribute to the story, like, at all. It was like, I'm pissed, skate montage.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it was an after school special in a way, like that, where it was like, even before Brian's brother dies, he's like, you know, angsty, and he's got he skates things out, you know.
Yes, exactly. I think it's like, it was one of those films. It was watchable. I'll say it was watchable. But it's just, it was hard for me to wrap my head around the fact that skating was part of this film, because it was such a crime drama.
And yeah,
it, you know, it was just like, I felt like the studio was like, okay, but we have this idea for a film. We want it to be a crime drama. Mel Gibson said no, so we got Christian Slater. We're gonna go high school, and we're gonna do skating.
Mike, come on in, sit down.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm pulling out all the favors on this one. Huh. So let me break it down for you. Now, we have an idea for a movie. Well, we had an idea for a movie, and it was called A Brother's Justice.
Ooh.
But we didn't get that movie. In fact, we didn't get shit we asked for.
Okay.
What we wanted was a compelling crime drama with some gripping special effects, yeah, a couple of car chases, and a few explosions. But shit. We ended up with a car chase, an explosion, a couple of cap guns, and a Vietnamese brother.
What?
Now, what I need from you is a compelling story,
okay,
that revolves around high school.
What?
And, brace yourself, skateboarding.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And we're going to call it Gleaming the Cube.
Okay.
And we have no idea what it means.
Oh, great.
Now, son, I realize you're probably going to have to kiss the Oscars goodbye.
What the fuck am I doing here?
Now I need you on this one.
Shit. I mean, at least the skaters might like it.
We We hope so. We hope so.
Yeah. Well, and before.
Well, I don't think Mel Gibson was going to play Christmas Slater.
No, I mean, I'm just saying it's like they wanted a crime drama, so they're like, let's go Mel Gibson or something like that.
He might have played. He might have played Bauer's role.
He'd have played. He'd have played the detective probably.
Yeah, he could have been the detective. Lucero.
But you know, before we get too ahead of ourselves, because I know there's plenty of people who haven't seen this movie. This movie starts out. It's Brian, the main character, Christian Slater's character, is this angsty teenager who's a good-hearted kid. But definitely kind of disrespects his parents a little bit. Not
hangs out with the wrong crowd.
I wouldn't say the wrong crowd. I would say like a crowd of misfits. But I wouldn't say the wrong crowd.
That would be the wrong crowd.
No. But you know, they're all still pretty good natured kids. You know, like who knows? The 80s. It's like the skaters look like like ruffians, but like they were just skaters. They didn't like do anything other than break into people's pools.
They tagged that freaking plane with a bunch of stickers and shit. Little fuckers.
Yeah, they were little shits.
That was hilarious, though. It's like I always wanted to know how the hell they get down there. They're like, there it is.
Knew where it was in LA, but like I kind of like wondered to myself, I'm like, how long would it take you to charter a flight around LA to find a pool, go back to your place
and land and then get there
and then get
that's
on
like
your,
an all day event.
It's not like they drove. Like get on your skateboard and skate to this place.
Yeah.
And then have enough energy to skate the pool.
Yeah, but apparently everything in the movie is downhill, though. I don't know if you noticed that. Every single street they're skating on is going downhill super fast. It's
totally.
Like, where do they go uphill ever?
Yeah, it was really convenient.
Because it's hard on a skateboard.
Yeah. Walk uphill, skateboard down, apparently.
So anyway, Brian, they spend the first 10 minutes of the movie basically showing how good of a skateboarder he is and his friends are. And how they're streetwise guys. But then he goes back to his home life and he's got this, he's got an adopted brother who's Vietnamese, who's way more of the, student and pleases the parents in ways that Brian never could, Brian isn't interested in stuff like that. So, there's this, but Vin really cares about Brian. So it's like they're a good family. There's just a lot of misunderstandings going on. But then, just to cut to the chase, Vin, who's Vietnamese, works for, there's a whole Vietnamese community in LA. So that, it's kind of like
an elaborate story.
It's kind of like I know. It gets
it's
really
an elaborate
deep.
Story. That's what I'm really saying. It's like it could have been such a different movie at the same time.
Yeah, because when he starts noticing, because he starts going through some of the invoices for this relief fund for the Vietnamese Communist Party. Or something like that.
It's still a war over there, apparently. Still, it's like Cold War or something.
So he starts noticing some inconsistencies in the weights and gets himself involved in stuff that he shouldn't get me involved in. And Colonel Track, who is Vin's girlfriend's dad, is trying to keep him out of it. Like, he's trying to do the best he can to keep Vin away from this thing.
And I thought that was a really funny aspect of this movie, is that he finds that shipping thing and then he goes back and he's pissed.
Yeah.
Cause he like Colonel Track basically tells him, it's like, you've been working here for like 2 weeks and you're doing a good job because I want somebody else to take a look at this shit.
Yeah.
But he took it so personal and he goes home and he's smoking. And he's like, I just started. Yeah, and it was like, what? And it's like,
I thought he fired him.
No, he didn't fire
him. That's what it made it seem like. But like, I agree with Jason. It seemed like all the Colonel was telling him is like, stop doing this, what you're doing now.
I did not take that as a fire.
Because he worked at a video store. Like, it was like,
yeah,
that was, I'm sure that's what, like, if they would have gotten more into it, that was like what he was saying is like, hey, don't go through my invoices anymore.
Basically, just do what you're supposed to do. And that's what I thought was hilarious. And then he goes home and I felt that he just got overly angry.
Oh, so angsty.
Yeah.
The angst was rich in this bedroom with these two kids.
Yeah, I know, dude.
Like Christian Slater gets home, he's like, whoa, I'm being out angst by my brother. Oh my God.
it's like, he's just like, maybe I'm not the one screwing up. And I just thought it was funny that he built him up so much that he goes down, he felt the need to investigate.
Yeah.
And like, no average teenager would actually just do that. It's like, I don't see that part. I didn't see really happening. But then it was just like funny. It's like I felt that it was really hilarious that every time an Asian person was on screen, they played Asian music.
Yeah. Well, I mean, right down to the point where, getting a little ahead of ourselves, when Bobby Nguyen drives out to the orchards and eventually gets himself killed, he's playing that Vietnamese cover of Nowhere to Run.
Oh yeah. that's true. Okay.
But it's kind of this rich culture that they go into in this movie, this Vietnamese culture in LA is you know, it's a trip because it like seems like this whole script, it was like, you know, written around like, I don't know. I didn't really look into it, but like, it seems like the script like was written around that story.
Right.
And then like to translate it to Hollywood, they had to like add a, you know, like a teen heartthrob-ish character.
Right.
And,
the story, the
skateboarding.
Skateboarding. I'm still miffed about that, but I mean, it's cool. I get it. So, and then he goes to the warehouse and he's searching around for crates. He's doing his thing.
Gets himself killed, basically. Yeah. Jump to the chase.
But yeah. It was just funny because, like...
accidentally killed, we should say.
I don't know what happened. I've done this before. I've never killed anyone. It's been done to me. I'm still alive.
And that's what I was going to say, is these criminals are, like, the worst criminals ever.
Yeah.
Because they mean to kill nobody, but they kill everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody that they come in contact with dies.
Well, and when he was like...
an accident.
Smart. It was an accident.
When he was getting the towel wet, I was like, what the fuck's going on here? Like, what are they doing? And I've never seen a towel used like that.
Never seen it. I do it all the time.
Yeah, he's like, it's been done to me.
During sex. I mean, it's like,
it's never happened before. How many people do you strangle with a wet towel?
He's like, I'm 5 for 5 with this. No. Yeah. Everybody lives.
this is an anomaly.
But yeah, so Vin gets himself accidentally killed, and of course they're like, the thing, this is where this gets weird, is because Colonel Track, you know, he's involved with the people that kill him, but he because he's doesn't want to compromise the whatever's going on, whatever, they don't really explain what's going on, like what they're shipping and what,
not at that point. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, he's choosing that over, you know, maybe just turning this dude in, Lawndale, who's like clearly fucking in over, he's over his skis, like big time. He's just like,
oh yeah,
a guy broke into the warehouse, I gotta interrogate him, kill him. You know, like, I mean, it just seems like he would have been so much better off being like, ha, kid, go back home.
You're fine. Yeah, I know, yeah.
I'm not gonna call the police because, you know, instead he fucking, you know, strangles him to death.
It's easily, yeah. He easily could have just like shoved him out the door and sent him on his way, and yeah, you know, he might have tried to come back again or something, but I mean,
yeah, but then again, it's like, I mean, so that was an accidental kill, and you could almost say, like, Lawndale, when he kills Nguyen, Bobby Nguyen, it's kind of like the same thing where it's like Colonel Trek's like, you killed him, you know, and he's like, well, he'd have shot me, you know.
Yeah.
Like he was like George Zimmerman in his way is out of this thing, you know, like, oh, like I'm standing my ground, and then Colonel Trek's like, yeah, but you know, this is murder, you know. Yeah. Or no, he's like, you're a war man. He's like, yeah, but
I know, he showed some pretty sweet moves with the gun thing.
Yeah, Colonel Track. I mean, kicked him out.
The gun out. He showed that he's clearly fighting the good fight still.
Yeah,
back at you know, the U.S. standpoint.
Like, I feel like he's just kind of at this point, he's just suffering the consequences of some of his choices, because it's like he's accepting it. You know, and he's not like, this is bullshit. Like, I didn't want this to happen. He's just like, okay, I got to deal with this. You know,
yeah,
this
right.
This is fucked. This is totally fucked. But I got to deal with it. Meanwhile, Lawndale is just like, can't we just burn the body? No, he's like, no.
Oh yeah, he's getting hardcore.
No, let's just let's do something a little bit more respectful.
Yeah, he's like, I know the family, so we're not going to burn the body, jackass.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
So now that's where the story takes a turn. Vin dies. Brian gets super depressed and angsty, and he's just like, you know, like, I just got to skate it out. So cue skate montage. When he's doing that freestyle skate where, you know, he's not, you know, street skating or anything, he's just doing tricks like on
kind of, yeah, like up through the building.
Yeah, no. Parking structure or the construction building.
No, that's the one after he's pissed off at the cop. I think that's the...
That's right. He does the half pipe.
Yeah.
And that's all Mike McGill, who like his signature move is the McTwist, and he does it in that stunt. But that's, you know, like that right when he was doing the half pipe, I'm like, so wait, you have this like sweet fucking half pipe in the shade,
right?
And like you're paying pilots to go fly around to
look at pools, dude. Like why?
You have this, but no, maybe that's how passionate they were. They were like, let's save up our lawn mowing.
Well, they were trying to gleam the cube, dude.
Yeah, totally.
Part of gleaming the cube is finding pools.
yeah, like
no, seriously. Okay, so I mean,
gleam the rounded cube.
Yeah, do it. What does gleam the cube mean? I mean, Yabo says something about it.
Yabo goes, he goes in to say basically it's letting go, which is like, right. You could say like being in the zone, you know, like when you're skateboarding, like you're not thinking about it, you're just flowing.
Brian,
gleam the cube. Huh? You're in worse shape than I thought. The cube, Brian. It's a place that you skate when you let go.
Like, that's basically what I got from that, but I also looked it up, and it said, like, the Urban Dictionary says, was like, when you fail so hard, there's genius to the fail. So, really? Yeah, it's like an Urban Dictionary. That's what it says.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so that was like kind of interesting, because that's why I wanted to hear your interpretation of it, because that's
my interpretation is just what I read in the, or saw in the movie.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I understood. Because, yeah, that's what it came from, was this movie, is that term, you know? So I was like, what does that mean? Because, you know, for me, who was not a skater, I figured maybe that's like an unspoken skater thing.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay.
And I was, as a kid, I wasn't a skater per se. I wanted to be a skater.
Yeah.
It's not like I was a wannabe, but I wanted to be a skater. And I just wasn't, I mean, I was decent at it. I wasn't as good as any of these guys in this, obviously. They're all like, I mean, by the way, Tony Hawk and Tommy Guerrero, Mike McGill, and Rodney Mullen are all, you know, doing stunts in this movie. It's amazing.
I didn't know Tony Hawk was that freaking old. 88, and he already had stickers and stuff out, so he was already gone by 88.
He was 17. He was blowing up in like the mid-80s, you know, 85, 84.
Yeah, he was always doing competitions old or something shit. By then, wasn't he?
Hey, we can't pass up this badass room that this kid had downstairs. Through like
Yabo's.
Oh, dude, Yabo's bomb. It was a bomb shelter.
Dude, that's really cool. Yabo's bomb shelter is tight because that one.
Fuck yeah. As a kid, I was like, I want a room like that. Like, what? I didn't even know it was a bomb shelter. When
every
I was
kid would want like, that. Yeah,
that's so cool. You go down like a Mario pipe. And you're like,
womp womp womp. Oh, that's really cool.
I wanted that.
No, that was like that was one of the I definitely notched that down as definitely a cool aspect, because you know what kid wouldn't want something like that's your hideout, dude. That's your hideaway. That's your bedroom. That's a killer thing.
That's badass.
Well, man. Yeah, and it's like the only thing he takes advantage of in it is like that he's got a little half pipe and like a workbench. It's not like he's doing drugs down
there. Yeah. No, he's clearly like doing skating shit. Everything that he does down there, he's fixing boards. Yeah.
I think that's why I also liked this movie when I was a kid too, because it kind of like it was relatable even as like a 12-year-old. You know, it's like they weren't, aside from Brian doing his like I gotta go be a detective, you know, with my skateboard. Everything else was like relatable as a skater, you know. It was all high school shit, you know.
Right.
But yeah, like so Brian's depressed, you know, skates it out, you know, tries to do some investigating himself.
I do have to say real quick though, they did a pretty good job to letting you know that Christian Slater didn't do any of that.
The stunts?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was good. Don't get me wrong. Because you knew it was a stunt double right away.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they didn't, you know, try to mask that too much.
Like, the only time, I mean, like, you see Christian Slater riding a skateboard when he's riding it through the Vietnamese mini market.
Yeah.
Like, which is, by the way, dick move. You know, he's just, like, on the sidewalk, like, get the fuck out of the way, kind of skateboarding.
Right.
You know, and then he, like, skateboards inside the pool, the billiard place, you know, like, he rides
exactly.
It
yeah, totally.
It's just like, man, he's, you know, he's the epitome of, like, this type of skater that people...
The stereotype. Yeah. Yeah. That's, like, what they think. Yeah.
The one Jesus Christ cross earring and...
Totally.
He's your super Vanilla Icy.
Yeah. And, you know, like, it seems like he's uber committed to that lifestyle until... for some reason, I mean, this is where the movie takes the weirdest turn to me. Like, I just, even back then, now, like, revisiting this movie, I do not understand the relationship between him and Vin's girlfriend. Because, I mean, like, they are, like, at first it seems like he's legitimately, like, I just want to be friends. You know, like, he's, like, buying her soda. And then that turns into, like, going to the movies. And turns into him tearing his posters off his wall and completely remolding himself just to get the attention of his deceased brother's girlfriend. It's fucking weird.
Well, I think, and I'm just speculating here, I think it's the fact that he kind of somehow, in his investigating, like you're going at, that he kind of figured out that something was going on there. You know, and then, so I think, I'm not sure if it was like, I just want to be friends, or if it was like, he wants to be friends so that he can kind of get close to Colonel Track and kind of figure it out. Cause he started snooping around that house when he finally got into the house pretty quickly. It wasn't like
he took his hat.
Yeah. Or his lighter and his hat. Yeah. Is that what it was? And that's another thing. You know, I mean, this thing gets black ops all of a sudden, you know, it's like, I don't get it. I mean, he definitely takes it to the next level.
Yeah, he...
not to get too far ahead or anything, but...
No, that's not very far ahead. Like, when Brian realizes that Colonel Track and Lawndale... I mean, this is after Brian basically pusses out of his, like, rebel lifestyle and is, like, wearing pastel colors and sweaters.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
is basically
alienates his crew and
doing
shit.
Whatever he can to, you know, please Tina. Yeah, and he like alienates himself from his crew, and they're just like, I mean, they tease him a little bit, but they're not like saying like, oh, you're not one of us. They're just like, hey, you don't want to hang out? And he's just like, no,
they weren't douchey about it.
I've got my briefcase and.
Hey, Halloween is in October, Brian. So why are you in that costume? Hey, where's your board? Felt like walking today. No. We have to talk about this.
I left my skateboard at home, and I cut my hair, and I took out my earring.
He had a sweet dangle earring, by the way, too.
It was very dangly.
Yeah.
The cross.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, they didn't alienate him or anything. I mean, well, didn't.
He
but, I mean,
alienated himself.
But I mean, later though, when he's on the bike and they're even still like, you know, we still think about you and shit. I mean, yeah. I thought I was like, that's kind of, I don't even think anybody that I knew would ever say something like that, really. You know, it was like a little bit like, wow.
Yeah.
That's brotherly, you know?
Yeah. Yabo was a good friend for him. But, you know, it was kind of weird because it was unforced. Like, you know, like I get what you're saying. Like maybe he was doing it all to like figure out the what happened to his brother.
Right.
But they don't really sell that. I feel like they sell like he is like so confused and depressed that he's like, okay, so like I need to like fulfill my brother's legacy by like making this woman happy.
Maybe.
And,
yeah.
I mean, it's just weird because it is
a weird part of the movie.
It's an odd like, you know, cause I remember as a kid, I didn't think about it that much, but now watching it when he's just like tearing the posters off his wall and he like, you know, it's like, it's as if the skater is just like an exterior and he's,
I thought that might've been like a culmination of things though, because I mean, multiple times throughout the movie, he was told, you know, look how you look. I'm supposed to take advice from you or,
yeah,
you know, blah, blah, blah. All these people were like, I'm not going to listen to this kid. His dad was all pissed off all the time. The cop didn't respect, didn't take him seriously. So I figured, I thought throughout the whole movie, he was just getting narbed on because of his attire and the way he looked.
Yeah,
and in order to gain more respect throughout the movie, he changed the way he looked, so maybe the cop would respect him more and take him more serious, or
well, and maybe it was just because he was trying to like he said, kind of grab on to the last aspect of his brother, which is her.
And he saw his brother died, and he saw a man get murdered. I mean, I can see why he'd want to change, like.
Yeah, but okay.
This is some fucked up shit.
All that makes sense if he like still skated on the side. But he was like, oh no, like
totally. Yeah,
he was almost willing to give up skateboarding just because she didn't care for it. That's what I felt like, because she was like, you might even not skate anymore. And he was like, maybe. And she was like,
she had
a twinkle in her eye, and I was just like, oh no, you know, like are you guys gonna have set? Like, are you gonna fuck?
Yeah,
like, are you gonna fuck your dead brother's girlfriend?
What the
and
fuck?
Especially because I think Yao's sister was all into him too.
Dude, so. She was totally into him.
Yeah.
She was.
Oh yeah,
she I fucked the shit out.
Oh yeah, gave the finger dangly.
My girlfriend walked by and she was like, "Oh, who's that? Sexy guy." I was like,
"Oh, dude, he was like, I mean, when he cleaned himself up, he could have gotten all the pussy he wanted to. Like all the girls were looking at him.
Meet you in the bomb shelter.
I mean, what were they thinking though when he's like eyeing his dead brother's girlfriend? It's like, let's go get a soda and a movie,
right?
You know,
and she like kissed him on the cheek and he got all like bashful.
But that was crazy though, because like as soon as she said, there's no way I could see you, my father doesn't allow American boys, and well, you look like that.
My father won't let me see American boys, even as friends. And even if he would, Ryan, you look at yourself.
Yeah, that's when
then boom, he goes home and just like, whoosh, just
and it's
changes
like,
immediately.
It's like an exterior, you know, like he's got all of his like preppy clothes like perfectly folded underneath his like t-shirts and stuff.
Yeah,
like he's just like, remove that layer, and there I am, a preppy, you know, like I tear posters off my wall. Like I'm surprised he didn't tear the posters off his wall, and underneath there was like preppy posters.
Yeah, like, already put in place just in case.
Yeah, just like his clothes. It was like they were there, like just
you
like,
already had these.
Like his mom, like always put them there, like crossing her fingers, like one day you're just gonna wake up and like throw all these clothes like away and put these ones on.
Like he wore them in sixth grade and they still fit, you know. It's like, where do they come from?
Like, you know? A table of elements wallpaper or something.
yeah exactly,
something nerdy,
some degrees.
But yeah, that was definitely a weird part of the movie. But that's when then he does the covert ops, then he goes back to the same warehouse, starts snooping around, does the same thing, you know, doesn't get caught obviously. But isn't that when he comes out and like he lights the gas can and just blows that propane tank up?
He does that like before he even goes in there.
He comes out, right? And that's when it happens.
Well, no, or? He like just does that, and then like the, you know, he only goes back in there when he starts figuring out like that
They're shipping weapons.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what he finds.
Because originally he's just like, he knows the building is. He's like, okay, so this is Western Medical Supplies.
Right.
You know, like, I'm just going to start a fire here. And like, that's why Lucero, who, by the way, we haven't talked about how he flicks ears.
Well, also, I was going to say, I know.
You. And like,
he's more brotherly than anything else in this whole film.
Well, yeah, and like...
Oh, right. You jump into the backseat of a pervert's car? What, are you playing hard to get?
You know, if I had a dog with a face like yours, I'd shave his ass and teach him to walk back.
What'd you say? Say that.
There's so much of this movie. I don't know if you guys noticed it. I noticed it especially because I watched it with headphones on. Lucero and Christian Slater and everybody else, they have so much, like, it's, I think they call it like ADR, like where it's like after the fact dubbed, you know, like,
okay,
like the audio was horrible on set, so they like redid the lines, you know,
shit,
like,
okay,
and like there's all kinds of that stuff, but the one thing that isn't is like the ear flicks. They all sound so like real,
like realistic, just, like, real, like, just brutal, real too.
Finger to skin, like, you know, and it's just like, ah, like
smart ass.
You can feel pain, like, instantly. You could, and that's what I thought was weird about them as like their relationship. And I don't really know where this sparked. Like, right in the beginning when you meet him after the pool scene, he's talking to him like he knows him, like he's his like older brother, like he's never met or something. It's like,
well, yeah,
and he's then, immediately gets that brotherly feel
and
for
then
some reason.
Even when Vin's dead, he's like, that one detective's all like, gotta find somebody who knows the family. And then he like looks at Lucero, and Lucero's like, I'll talk to him, you know, like, so it's like he, like, for whatever reason, already knows his family, you know,
somehow. Yeah, but they don't allude to the fact.
It's no, I think like it's just like assumed that he has to deal with the skaters a lot, you know, like the fan, like
maybe the younger youth because of what, who he is.
They kind of made it sound like a kind of a small world, though, because if I remember right, a couple times in the movie they said, yeah, you know the family or something. You know these people or something like that. Like, everyone knew each other.
And L.A. is not a small world.
Yeah, yeah. That's what's weird. It's like it's a small jurisdiction. I mean, you're just patrolling the neighborhoods. Yeah, that was one weird part. He had that brotherly feel, and it was right in, like, in the beginning.
Yeah.
It just, like, happened.
Well, and he's like...
I was confused by it a little
he's
bit.
He's so on the brink of just, like... gonna punch him, you know, but it's like Christian Slater, obviously he looks young, but he doesn't look like a a 16-year-old or whatever, you know, but I feel like that's like why he doesn't blow up on him, like he's just like, okay, so it's supposed to be a kid, okay, yeah, be patient with you know, but I feel like he is very patient, you know, like patient to the point where it's a fault, you know, like, and Christian Slater manages to take his little phone number pad,
yeah because that is weird,
cause, dude, I mean, why Christian Slater, like, Brian is getting deep. So Bobby Nguyen, these are the facts that he knows. Bobby Nguyen got shot by like some, like, Lawndale and Colonel Track.
Yeah, which always gave him shit before. Yeah. So we never even touched on him, this guy, but yeah.
So nobody believes him. So he's like, solution, I'm going to look up Bobby Nguyen in the phone book and go through his house, you know? Like,
yeah.
So he like starts, I mean, like, can you imagine, like, back then before the internet or Facebook or anything, like, it's like when you wanted to find something out about somebody, you just go to their house and knock on their door.
Yeah, apparently you can just go through their mailbox.
Yeah.
Like, all their mailboxes are open.
Yeah, look at their dirty magazines.
Yeah.
It was, but that's what I thought was funny, because actually when I first watched the original time, mm-hmm. I actually thought that, because I guess I missed that part, because I actually thought he was going to... the Lucero's house, the cop's house. Lucero's. I thought, because he was already there.
Yeah.
And I was like, I thought he lived there. And I was like, oh shit, that was just like a weird exchange. Still, you're right. He does put up with a lot of shit with Christian Slater's character, especially for being a cop. Because I mean, he could have arrested him numerous times, and he never did.
Well, or he could,
especially
just
after the fire.
He could just be like, I don't have to tell you anything. Get out of here. You know.
Yeah.
Like, instead,
he put up with a lot.
You know, he put up a lot, and he also gave, you know, like, Christian Slater some information,
which was surprising.
Yeah, but I do think it was like that just that mentality is hard to like explain, you know, where it's like, okay, yeah, so I'm so desperate to find out the truth behind this guy that I know got killed that I'm gonna go to his house.
Like, yeah,
fuck no, dude, you don't do that.
Who is randomly following
you? Like, you maybe find his address and then give it to the cop and be like, this is where he lives. Go look. You with a gun.
Yeah.
You go look.
Especially if you think you murdered your brother. You
know? Exactly.
Like, terribly tails Christian Slater's character.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so this is Bobby Nguyen's character, and he ended up dying later. But, I mean, his character was so weird. I mean, that weird drive off left. I mean, just like he just
he
randomly just drives out of control to get to the next spot. I guess it was.
He had that Lincoln Continental, the suicide doors. that whole chase scene where it was like Christian Slater's doing his detective work, you know, and he like gets up to the Atomic Motel and he like rail slides into it, you know, like that's how he parks his skateboard.
He slams himself into a maid cart.
Yeah. And like doesn't do himself any favors, you know, like if he had just walked up to her and like even with his skateboard, you know, like the way he looks, and instead of like crashing into her cart and just being like, hey, like who saw the guy that got killed, you know, or like he just like so many times he shoots himself in his foot.
Oh yeah.
But I guess it's kind of realistic because he's supposed to be a teenager, inexperienced, you know, skater. Pretty brash.
Like the guy in the car, he talks into driving as fast as he can towards a guy for like, yeah, such a weird.
Yeah. So, well, yeah, like the guy clips his car and he's like, that guy wasn't a cop. And he's like, no shit. And he's like,
get him now.
Like, yeah, now get him.
So what? Chase that non-cop.
The guy who hits you isn't a cop. No shit. So go get him.
Thanks a lot, pal.
What the hell? All right. They're with you. Come on, let's go.
Okay.
So they just do it.
Which, by the way, that whole chase, I mean, that's a good chase scene for skateboarding.
Yeah. No, okay.
for skateboard chase scenes, that's on point.
Let's be honest, man. If he hit a rock, that kid was dead.
Oh, dude.
Dude, I mean, 70 miles an hour, dude. It's like, it's almost impossible how smooth that ride was.
You could, yeah. I mean, you could see on some of the scenes, like when the stunt skater's getting towed behind the car, he's like lifting up the nose a couple times, you know? And it's probably to avoid shit like that. You know?
It has to be. I mean, I can only think of that.
Yeah, you hit a rock.
And he does that sweet chick under the semi, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, which was a real stunt. I mean, it looks fake as fuck, you know, but
it was literally
done.
I didn't think it looked fake. I thought it looked good.
It looked good, but it just, like, the camera angle made it look, like, artificial, you know, because he kind of, like, coasts under it, and it just, like, if the vantage point was, like, from at the side, I feel like it would have been way more believable.
Yeah. Well, he goes for it, and, like, he's going, and then he, like, ducks further because he's like, oh, shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was massive. I mean, they had to have been going, like, 60 miles an hour.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe they sped up the film. That's something you don't know. I mean, they could have been doing it, like, 25. I mean, I have no clue.
Who knows?
Yeah.
But
that, even 25 on a skateboard looks fast, though.
Oh yeah,
that's disgusting. Yeah, I couldn't imagine going 25. I would literally kill myself probably. But I mean, so going back a little bit, because we have to go back to your skate scene that you love.
Oh yeah,
you know, because right after, after that scene, you know, when the guy's chasing him and shit, and he drops off info or whatever that he found out, and then he gets mad, he's pissed off, and he goes, does his second skate montage.
Yeah, his angsty skate montage, which is Rodney Mullen this time. And Rodney Mullen is he's the wizard with just kind of flipping a skateboard around on his feet. I mean, he does some crazy stuff, which in contrast to the stuntman in the half pipe is Mike McGill, who's more of like a half pipe skater. So it's like, it's cool. Like, you can tell it's like two different stuntmen and they're not Christian Slater, but it's like... It's,
oh yeah, definitely. The hairpiece was just a killer.
Yeah. But the skateboarding itself is, I'm so glad they did that, because there was a few movies, like, I mean, there's some like that have skateboard in the title, and when you watch them, it's just fucking awful, like no real skateboarding. So like, this is a movie that, like, regardless of like how cheesy it is, it's like to this day, it's good skateboarding, you know. So it's fun to watch, even though it's old school skateboarding,
I did notice that, because I mean, I'm not a skater, so I mean, obviously, because it was like the old back in the day Nash boards that I remember. Yeah, like, it looked like that to me. Like, yeah, because it had the back flip, and then just the straight.
Well, yeah, like when he goes, when he goes down to Yabo's bunker, and he's all like. He's like, I need this and that. And he like says like a rail guards, tail guard. Like, that's all stuff that you just don't use anymore.
Yeah,
you know? Like,
yeah,
that was
right.
All stuff from the 80s.
I'll give you that. Yeah. I'll give you that about this movie. The skating was cool. I'm not a skater. I just think it was funny because, like, you know, I think I prefer this. I'm not a skater, though. I almost would have preferred not. I think this movie would have had as big of a cult following if, like, literally they didn't use Christian Slater. They just went ahead and, like, did Tony Hawk or something.
Yeah.
Or, like... Because that way, you know, I mean, the continuity would be better.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a stickler that way, though. Because, I mean, I like, you know, being able to tell that Christian Slater obviously didn't do much of the skating.
Yeah.
You know, I took me back just a little bit.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
I mean, other than that, I mean, it was a cool skateboarding movie. I'll give it that. I still think it was silly. It should not have skateboarding. It should have just been like a straight crime drama.
Yeah.
But I give it, you know. I mean, I get why it's got a cult following.
Yeah, but if then it's just a regular... crime drama, like every other fucking crime drama.
Yeah.
Well, crime dramas were kind of new then.
Made it a guilty pleasure.
Okay, so here's the scene. Sure. Here's the scene. I get it. Here's the scene at the studio when they decided to make this movie. There's like two movies on the table. One of them was a really interesting crime drama involving, you know, like some Vietnamese culture. The other was a movie about an angsty teenager skateboarding, but you'd have pro skaters in it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And they were going to shit can both the movies, but then like somebody probably saved it and was like, hey, wait, what if these two scripts have, let's turn on some music and have these scripts make sex.
make that's a new what they movie. Did to Ice Pirates.
They definitely did that to Ice Pirates.
Guilty pleasures, man.
Oh, man. That's the best part about them. You know, they don't have to make sense to anybody else as long as it makes sense to you.
I thought it was good. I like Gleaming the Cube. I thought it was not guilty pleasure to me. Like, I can see where, you know, where that was just a movie and it had cool skating in it, so...
Yeah, I think I only considered it a guilty pleasure because I watched this movie a lot and I knew that there was like some cheesy elements to it, you know. I hadn't seen it in a long time, but I definitely knew that like the crime drama aspect was like at the very least sub like TV show level.
It know? Was, yeah, exactly. Like one of my I just laughed when I saw the scene. It's like when he blows up the tanker or the propane thing and he just takes the little bumper things out from underneath the wheels of the office and he just walks up and he goes
yeah
and just pushes the whole fucking thing with them locked inside. I don't know why. I mean, because if that really is that easy, they're that easy to move, you know?
I can't believe those security guards like couldn't break that door open.
Yeah, it's like a mobile. You should be able to just jam, you know, ninja kick that shit and it should pop right open.
Yeah, I also, you know, like there was some questionable decision making on like Brian's part, you know. I question whether or not Colonel Track might have been able to handle the situation himself had Brian not like flown through his window and maybe.
I didn't understand that either. It's such a, he's like, ah, I've got breaks to the glass, like, and he just lays there in pain.
Yeah,
he's like, the movie would have been over. He's like, if, like, he landed the land.
He's like, here we go, Vin. Let's see if we can just fuck shit up, you know. And I think mission accomplished because like if you look at the angle, it's like Colonel Track is like kind of facing the window, and it's like. He probably took his eyes off of everything like long enough to like see Brian flying through the window where the other guy shot him. You know,
it was like
I kind of wonder if he was like responsible for Colonel Track's death. Though,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
because as soon as he plashes, I mean, he wasn't probably going to shoot him. And then it, like the crash is like, she's like, ah, and he just like shoots him.
Yeah.
So I was like, huh.
And then he just laid there and rolled around a page for like an hour.
And then pointless. and like Lucero is all like, you stay here, help them, because she's like screaming for help. I'm going to go chase them. And I'm like, okay, so I hope he at least called 911 because he pretty much just got in the car with Lucero. He's like,
dude, right?
He's like, yeah. And then he, at the end of the movie, he asks her, he's like, did your dad make it? You know?
Yeah. He's like, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. And I'm just like, how could you ask that when you like ran away from his bleeding body?
Yeah. You're like, peace. Hope everything's fine.
But then again, he did hotwire the car for Lucero. And
so I did think it was kind of funny.
Lucero, who apparently leaves the keys in his car when he gets out of his car, because like,
yeah,
oh yeah, it's just right. Like get in the, like, oh, my car's blocked, get in the cop car, because those things don't have keys, right? Like you just get in them and they drive.
And he's all, this is illegal. And he just like starts the car with this. What was that? That was like something that would actually like tighten.
It's an elephant wrench.
It's a skating tool.
Yeah, it's got a bunch of different.
Oh, no wonder I don't know it.
Yeah. But yeah, that I feel like that like chasing. I mean, it lasts like 15 minutes. It's a good chasing, you know, with the skating combined with the cars and like you know, the kind of freeway thing going on and the mob of skaters.
That's the other part that I was gonna say that makes like hilarious sense. No sense really to me as far as like the movie's concerned. But it's a skating movie, so you have to have it.
Yeah,
that's when it becomes.
You've never played chicken on a skateboard with a car?
No, like I said, I had a skateboard, so.
Yeah,
but I mean, I thought it was hilarious. It's like that's when it like becomes like that whole hill scene just totally reminds me of like, you know, a kid adventure movie with bikes. You know, like, you know, Goonies or, you know,
I like how the
ET you know, and some shit like that. So
the mob of skaters that are all just like so happy go lucky that they're just like none of them are like fuck you. Like,
yeah,
they're
this
just
is
like woo. Yeah, I'm gonna kill you with woo.
This is all fun, you know. Yeah. This is, but it was hilarious though. At least Spike brings the call, and I mean, I actually don't remember. Was that Hawk's character actually had like the multiple phones?
Yeah, he was
and, like
the,
he had like three. Yeah, so he's Buddy. His name is Buddy. I don't know if
Tony Hawk actually in the movie. Yeah. That was actually him, right?
Yeah, he was the pizza, pizza guy. Yeah, he drove the Pizza Hut truck.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. He was, and
he was the one that was driving straight at the guy and not flinching at all. Yeah. Just like big old smile.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it was hilarious. It's, I mean, I just thought the whole, I mean, it reminds me of something that would happen in the 80s or in like even early 90s. You'd have multiple lines, and that's the way it would happen, would be rotary phones.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, you know, so.
Yeah.
The whole chase scene was hilarious. You know, I mean, it was cheesy, especially with, you know, him tagging along with the Corvette going 90 miles an hour. You know, but. And the whole end of it just completely the crash, and then the 30-foot jump to knock the gun out of like, you know.
Yeah.
Actually, what's his name? What was it? Yeah, his
Lawndale, who was played by Richard Hurd.
Yeah, Richard Hurd, exactly. And like, yeah, it was like the most ridiculous scene. I mean, I chalked that up as a 10 on a ridiculous, but I mean,
because I mean, like, unlike other parts in this movie where there was like ramps behind bushes, you know. Like he supposedly like gets flung by the truck and then rides the
divider.
Like the sidewall of like a freeway on ramp or whatever.
Yeah. Like, something like that.
Something that's a 90 degree angle.
Yeah. And like, he just flies
and just launches
perfectly.
And, yeah. Right into Lawndale's gun and
knocks him unconscious, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest with you, I didn't really see him hit him in the face. It just kind of looked like he knocks his gun out, and Lawndale just kind of like went like, wah! But nonetheless, hero of the day. He's totally getting Tina's pussy later.
No.
Can I ask you something personal?
Sure.
Where's the bathroom?
Which ridiculous. Is still weird. I just don't get it. guys. I mean, like, what, like... Who wrote that? Who was legitimately sitting there going like,
that'd be sweet.
Yeah, like, I mean, at first it'll really seem like they're just trying to be friends, but you know, because of the tragedy and just how confused and teenage they are and hormones, they'll be a couple by the end of it.
I'm surprised that like it didn't go a route like, you know, I mean, there's been death in the movie. Like for a second there, I was like, oh, they're not gonna like, you know, have like this car that happens to go and like smush him up against the divider or something like that. It would be way more believable than like this 30-foot jump to knock him out with a, you know, skateboard. I don't know. It's just that was the one part that actually bugged me pretty bad.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, yeah, like that was probably the least.
Wow.
Legitimate.
Yeah.
Well, there's other parts. But
wow. Yeah.
There we go.
I was just gonna say that was like the most least legitimate skateboarding part of it too. It's like out of all the scenes, like that was the one where it was like, oh God, really? Like, because you know the scene where he goes through the window is so nonsensical. It's kind of like, up until that point, you were doing so well.
That's where it lost
you. This movie had very good skating, and then all of a sudden, it's this is his solution. He's I felt like he's like sizing up this backyard. He's like, okay, so I got this sweet little like drop in right here, and then I'll fly over the koi pond, and then boom, I'll go through that pane of glass and like, who knows what happens after that, but...
Nope, just pain.
I actually think that Christian Slater actually did that scene. And, like, the whole movie was dependent upon that scene. Like, if he sticks a landing, the movie's over. If he falls and biffs it, we go to the car chase. You know, it's like, that was a deciding factor.
And he biffed it.
So we got another 3 weeks of shooting.
He biffed it. Colonel Track got shot. Tina got taken hostage. And Lucera's like sitting there going...
It's like a choose-your-own-ending movie.
That would be good, though. They should make those.
Well, I'll, you know, just finishing up. I don't know. Like I said, I like it. I thought it was a good... It was a good pick for a movie.
Yeah.
I had no problem with it. I'd watch it again, so...
Yeah, I mean,
I enjoyed Christian Slater in the role because it's fun to hear him talk as a young Christian Slater. He's the same exact character when he's old.
Yeah,
just like even more so.
He plays a pretty good smartass, you know.
I call it watchable. I mean, it was my favorite, but yeah.
Yeah, well, and I mean, having expressed how much I watched this when I was a kid, going back to it, I was like, I hadn't seen this movie in long enough time where I was like, yeah, this is gonna be my pick. Because the movie Jason pick was just completely absurd.
Oh yeah, that's what I was going for.
Your movie, Chris. I like that movie. I just had never heard of it. So this movie, it was like, I think I was trying to just get a little bit in between. You know, it's like,
yeah, hey,
there's some absurdities. I didn't think it was going to be like as good as it was when I watched it again, because I watched it and I didn't really. I fast forwarded through some parts I knew.
Yeah, well enough.
Pointless. But, like, the most part, I was like, this movie's not bad. I mean, like, Christian Slater is kind of annoying at points. Like, especially when when they're he walks in on his dad watching the home video, and I'm like, is this? It seems like the home video is supposed to be like when they're younger kids.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I don't want to play with Frizz. I don't want to play with that. And I'm like, he looks like a grown man though. Like in the video, it's confusing, but
I felt like the story with the good story. Yeah. It could have been really elaborated on. But anyway, that's me. But I like I said, I enjoyed it. It was a fun watch.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was going back to the part where he his mom buys him all the knee pads and the helmet that he uses at the end. But like he gets them and he's like, these are the top of the line. Like, thanks. And then he even like skates in the half pipe with different knee pads. I'm like, is he really? I don't get it. Like, why?
Oh, I missed that weird? Actually.
It's probably an editing thing, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Probably filmed the half pipe scene before. But either way, it was just kind of funny. He saved those for his swan song.
There's some pretty good continuity parts. Like, you know, there was that part when he, Nguyen or Bobby
Nguyen.
when he got shot.
Yeah.
And he threw blood spatter all over the window and he falls. And then like the next shot, there's no blood.
Yeah.
You know, there's some fun, you know, it's an 80s film, you know, yeah. you're going
to
miss some.
Yeah, you're not supposed to pay attention.
Yeah. You're going to miss some continuity, but you know, there's always, you know, people that see it. So that's fun.
By the way, did you notice the Bobby Nguyen, the guy who played him? He was from Big Trouble, Little China.
Yes, he was Rain.
Yeah.
That was so awesome. I totally noticed that.
I was like, where have I seen this big four-headed Asian guy before?
Yeah. Yeah, no shit.
Because he had a five-head, six-head, something like that.
So, I mean, I know the character, but I mean, was Rain the guy that did the lightning?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Okay.
And you couldn't really see his six-head because he had that hat on.
This reminded me of Raiden every time I saw that movie.
Yeah.
Anyway, so if we got anything else, we'll close this out, I think.
I don't think so. I mean, no. I'm glad you guys at least, you know, watched the whole movie.
Yeah.
I didn't hate it.
It
was easier to watch than Ice Pirates.
Yeah. I know this is going to be a running joke, and that's fine. I hoped for it, actually. That's why I picked it. I knew it would be a jam.
At least it was a movie, you know?
Yeah, it was a jam. It was a jam. I knew it would be something to definitely talk about. All right. Well, anyway, catch us next time on Cinema Stash Rehash.
See ya.
Bye. Bye.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to Cinema Stash Rehash. Be sure to give us some awesome iTunes reviews, like us on Facebook. Don't forget to check out past episodes and join us next time on Cinema Stash Rehash.